This podcast is being recorded on Gadigal land. We pay our respects to the traditional custodians of this country and elders, past and present. We extend our respects to any First Nations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people that may have joined us for the podcast today. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Zone of Genius podcast, the podcast for business owners who want to leverage their natural skills so that they can get paid the big bucks. Coming back with you on an episode around all of the things that I wish I knew in the early days of my business when I was just getting started that would have helped me to grow and make money so much faster in a much less stressful way. So I think I've got, how many lessons do I have here? 7 pieces of savage advice I wish I knew at the start of my business journey that I'm going to run you through today. And before we get started in today's episode, I also just wanted to give you a little bit of an update. You will know that if you listened to last week's episode, I think it was, that I have been trying to get myself out of a toxic little habit. And I'm very proud to report that I went to a wedding a few weeks ago and an event last week. And both times, I felt the urge to smoke bomb. I felt the urge to just leave because I was tired. And I'm one of those people, which is very Manny Jen of me, that once I decide I'm done, like I have to immediately exit the situation. But I knew that I wouldn't feel good when I left. So I said goodbye to everyone. And honestly, it was not nearly as painful as I thought it was going to be. And it was not that much of a big deal. And I got to take my power back and like, yes, I want to leave, and also still respecting the people that are around me. So I wanted to give you that little bit of an update on my personal life before I let you dive into today's episode around all of the savage advice. And I titled this specifically savage because I am going to be going very direct and very to the point in terms of the advice that I wish I knew when I was starting my business journey. And so this is not for you if you want to be coddled into success, or you get offended easily, or maybe you're just having a dark day. Like maybe you don't need some tough love and that's totally fine. But if you're like, give me some of that hard-hitting advice, I want to question my whole reality, I want to change my thoughts overnight, then welcome. Let's sit down and get into it. Okay, so I started my business journey about 5 years ago. And at that time, I already had 6 years of being a personal trainer. So I had experience coming into running a business. I had experience as a coach, as someone that was selling, managing clients, running a business, all of the above. So when I came into the online space, I wasn't completely new to the space. And that was really such a leg up for me because I wasn't starting from zero in terms of the skills and expertise one needs for running a business. And I already had a little bit of a reputation in terms of, because I'd been working as a personal trainer and I was well known in the fitness space, especially in my local area, it wasn't that crazy when I launched my business online and people were like willing to join and work with me at the time because they already knew me as like the fitness chick. Like I was very heavily into exercising and I would go to powerlifting meets and I posted that all over my social media. So when I first launched my business online and I was like, cool, I've got some coaching spots and I did a launch sale and people could join for 50% off if they joined within like the first week or something like that. And I signed up, I think like 6 or 7 people in the first week. And I was like, fuck yeah, this is amazing. Like, you know, at that time I had also just finished my university degree, but decided that I actually hated what I studied in and didn't want to work in that profession. So I didn't have any money. I wasn't making much money at my current job at the time. I also had a lot of credit card debt because I had been doing what they call clinical placement at uni, which basically just means that you are working for free as a student in the job that you're studying for to get experience, but you're working for free. So anyway, experience is obviously necessary, but it was very tough to support myself during that last year where I was working full-time for free. So I didn't have any money. I had credit card debt and I was just like really excited to get into business. But obviously when I first launched my business, I wasn't really thinking, how can I earn as much money as possible? I was like, I just want to earn whatever I can, right? So I launched my offer and I got probably like 6 or 7 people signing up to about 50% off a weekly coaching subscription. So I was going to be charging like between $50 to $70, depending on what you were getting from my fitness coaching. And when I signed up these people, obviously they were paying 50% off, which is around $25 to $35. And that is not a lot of money, even though you're signing up 6 people. Like that was fucking amazing. And I was so happy just to get anyone through the door. But The problem was, is that because I had a reputation for being the fitness chick and people knew me as a personal trainer, it was very easy for that initial inflow of clients to come into my online coaching world because of that reputation that I already had. And then when I tried to relaunch my offer and I tried to price it at the actual price that it was rather than 50% off, I found it really, really difficult to sign up clients. I found the next launch, like I had crickets. I found it once I had that initial like interest where people were like, oh, this is cool. Like, what is Inez up to? Like, this is something different. She's a personal trainer. I've always wanted to try, but I haven't wanted to go into the actual gym. It was like a new way that people could work with me. So there was like a bit of a novelty. But once that initial intrigue died and there was no other real reason that people would sign up with me, which brings me to my first piece of savage advice, which is my offer just wasn't really that interesting or good. I was just mimicking what I saw all the other fitness coaches, successful fitness influencers doing, offering a very standard package that everyone else was doing. I didn't have anything that made me stand out. And because I really looked to others to make me feel good about myself and think about what I should be doing, I never even considered that I should have a point of difference because I was so scared to stick out. I was so scared to do something different. So I just looked at what other successful fitness influencers and fitness businesses were doing and tried to copy off that. And like, no wonder it was really difficult for me to actually sign up people because I'm selling the same thing as everyone else and not bringing my own skills, my own zone of genius, you know, the whole point of this podcast, into that actual offer and getting really focused on marketing the wrong things in terms of my offering, like, you know, focusing on like how people were getting personalized macros or focusing on getting a personalized training program, which whilst key essential components of an offer and still information that you need to give to your clients, that kind of logistical information is like 10% of why someone would buy something. People are not buying your fitness program because of the personalized macros. They want to buy and invest in your services because of the outcome personalized macros can get. And I didn't really understand that because I had been operating my business from a place where I didn't really have to do marketing because I was able to get leads through the gym. They would give you free leads and then you would do a free consult with someone, take them through your process, and at the end you would sell them into coaching. And that's a very different experience to when you bring your business onto social media and you've got to actually market your service, talk about what's involved, and give people a reason to pay attention and want to invest. And so I didn't understand that because in my head I was like, well, macros is really important and your training program is really important, and if you don't have those two things, what's even the point? And so I focused way too much on the logical elements of the offer rather than the outcomes and the desire and really fleshing out and getting into the imagery and the feelings of the after experience that someone could get if we think about what they're going to feel and look like and have and benefit from after they go through this program. So we also really want to think about in terms of your offer being actually engaging and interesting and worthy of someone's investment, I needed to build up the skill of being a good online coach. And so initially, I didn't have that skill as being a good online coach because I wasn't working as an online coach for a very long period of time. I was obviously a personal trainer. And so, yes, I was really good at writing programs and designing nutrition protocols for people. Like I knew what I was talking about, but I still needed to build out what my unique selling point was, what other elements of the offer were to make it really good and engaging and get great results with my clients. So thinking about within your own offers, how can you make sure that your offer centers the client experience so that you're getting really good results with your current clients? That gives you testimonials to then get new clients as well as them re-signing so that you have more sustainable income, but also then you feel more convicted around what you are actually selling. So it's so much easier to actually sell that rather than just going, oh yeah, I'm just going to offer this like 12-week coaching program. And I've had a really good experience myself doing this kind of stuff. So that should be fine. And I'll just throw it all together and hope that someone buys it and hope that someone validates me. It's like, you need to validate it for yourself and actually put time and effort into structuring an offer that it doesn't have to be complicated, but you need to feel really clear about making sure that you know how you can get someone that result and covering all of the bases. And then when you're describing and marketing that offer, you need to really speak to the part of your customer customer's brain that actually makes the decisions, which is the emotional part. That's what gets someone to invest. If someone feels emotionally connected and they can feel it in their body of like, oh my God, I'm going to get that result and I need to have that, you're sparking up that desire within them. That's means it's so much more likely to join in your program rather than you talking about something boring, which is like, oh, you need this plan or you need these macros. It's like always attaching that to the actual outcome and not assuming that because your offer seems similar to what everyone else is offering, then that means that it's good enough for someone else to buy in you. Like, how can you upskill? How can you communicate better what it is that you have to offer? What can you add to your offers to make them feel more premium and create a really good experience? Like, if your offer isn't selling easily or you don't believe in your offer, then it's probably not good enough to sell. And I don't mean that you are not good enough, but the way that you have packaged it up is not good enough yet. And when you feel really good with your offer, you really have that conviction. It's easy for you to talk about the benefits and it's easy for you to market and convert followers into paying clients. All right. So that's savage advice number one. Savage advice number two is stop trying to be like everyone else and build your business like everyone else. I really struggled with this when I first started my business 5 years ago. I was working in a boutique gym where there were weirdly a lot of fitness influencers where they had followers from like over 100K to a million followers. And that actually really intimidated me. Obviously, if I was to go back into that scenario, I would be like, soak it up and be expanded by these people and how cool it is that you get to be like in close proximity to people that already have what you want. But I just found it really intimidating and it made me feel like I was never going to be enough or I needed to look for them for guidance or what they were doing is what I should be doing. I really struggled to listen to my own compass and my own intuition, which meant that I was constantly looking to like podcasts or other business gurus or mentors to tell me what to do. And I had not really grown up in a family or, you know, society doesn't really encourage you to do things your own way. So I was constantly trying to be like, okay, I should dress like this way because then that's going to get me clients because that's what this fitness influencer does. Or I should talk in this way because that's how this really successful business owner talks. So therefore, if I do that, I'm going to be better. Or I shouldn't say these certain things because no one else is talking about that and I don't want to be outspoken, even though what we know now, and you know, this was a different time in the social media landscape and the online business world because it was 5 years ago and we've progressed so much since that time, but I didn't know that you actually wanted to stick out. And I really had a lot of crippling social anxiety as well as just a lot of insecurity that through my business, I've been able to heal quite a lot. And you probably wouldn't believe me when I say I used to be really fucking shy and overanalyze absolutely everything. But because of that, and because I really didn't feel good enough, I was constantly outsourcing my power to other people that I thought already knew. And I felt like I was constantly just missing the mark and not knowing what I was doing. But I can guarantee you that if you listen to, yes, of course, you want to be listening to what mentors have to say in terms of things that have worked for them, but you want to be adding your own flair into it. So what that would look like is I just wrapped up the 6-week offer expander program where I help people figure out how to expand their offer suites and sell multiple offers and design and launch different styles of offers. I'm going to give you that structure, but then it's up to you to be creative with what you put in that offer and how you design it and what the offer actually looks like. And then that's what is going to set you apart as well and ensure that you feel really engaged with the offer that you are selling. It's really meaningful to you rather than just doing what everyone else seems to be doing. Number three. Now, this is a huge block that plagued me for many fucking years. And I wish I could go back to my younger self and just be like, throw it in the bin and move on. And that is, it really does not fucking matter how many followers you have. Again, because I was working in this gym where there were all of these big influencer names that were really popular, I guess, in the area that I have grown up, it was very easy for me to think, oh, I'm never going to amount to anything. And why would someone work with me when they could choose to work with this other person that's got hundreds of thousands of followers? Again, stemming from a place of insecurity, but that really blocked me from being able to feel like I was worthy of clients and making money and taking up space because I put this thought in my brain that, oh, until I have that amount of followers, I shouldn't show up like I am worthy of investment, even though I had more experience than this person. And I'd been working as a personal trainer for a longer period of time. I was like, no, I'm going to fully just give my power away to my followers and just like wait until I have the right amount of numbers, whatever the fuck that number is, and then I'm going to allow myself to show up in that way. When in reality, if you show up like you already have 100K followers, if you show up in the energy of like, I know what I'm fucking talking about, people are going to flock to you and you're going to be able to sign on clients without ever needing 10K followers, without ever needing to go viral. And that is something that I have really seen in my own business and with so many of my followers. So many of my clients' followers. Stop giving your power away to something that is so obsolete. Followers doesn't mean anything. I've worked with clients that have 30,000 followers that are barely making $1,000 a month. And then I've worked with clients that have 2,000 followers that are making 10K a month. It really doesn't fucking matter unless you let it matter. And so many people are giving up on their dreams because they're like, oh, I'm not getting engagement. Oh, my reels aren't doing really well. And it's like, but what if you focus on the people that are engaging in you and what, like, and really realize as well that your highest paying clients are not fucking around playing with DMing you and commenting on your reels. Think about the biggest investment you've ever made. Were you commenting on that coach's or that service provider's content? Probably not, because you were thinking about, should I invest in this? How can I go about this? What should I do in terms of this investment? High paying clients, premium clients are not wasting their time randomly engaging on social media. So yes, of course, we want to be posting on social media and making content that's engaging, but do not let it hold you back from showing up for your business in a way that feels like you're taking it seriously. Because the way that I really broke through this self-limiting belief is I saw a fellow coach of someone that I had been in a mastermind with made like 300K in a quarter, and she had like 600 Instagram followers. And I was like, oh my God, like, I have been telling myself, I think I had like 2,000 Instagram followers, that I can't make more money because I don't have a big enough audience. And then this other coach that I saw had made this huge milestone. And I was like, right, I'm going to work with her because I'm going to prove to myself that you don't need to have a big following in order to get clients. And not only did that break that belief because I paid her, even though she had less followers than me, but I worked with her on her Instagram strategy, and it just opened up my world in terms of the way that I could actually show up and take my power back in terms of Instagram. So get over it. It's not that big of a deal. So focusing on it and focus on how you can be of value and service to even one client. And trust me, the clients will flock. And please, for the love of God, this is my fourth piece of savage advice. Stop fucking justifying everything. When you're doing your Instagram post and you're being like, this caveat, or like, I know that you don't really mean this, or I know that you're trying hard, or I don't really mean like this, don't be offended, don't be upset. You're just adding in all of this extra fluff that is taking someone so long to get to the point of your caption or whatever content it is that you're creating, that it is fucking boring. And again, I say this from someone that used to write novels worth of a caption. And I wanted to make sure that everyone felt understood, and I was seeing it from all the angles, and I didn't want people to misunderstand me, and so that my point was coming across really clear and educated. But guess what? Your Instagram captions are so fucking short, and you're trying to write in an essay style for something that is only like a very limited number of characters, and it makes it so boring to read. So I want you to read through your captions now and notice all of the caveats and the justifications and the understanding the point and trying to show everyone that you get that there are various different perspectives. It's boring, and it's also going to water down your content and make it really hard to actually read along and understand what point you're coming from. Understand that your content is such a small piece of the puzzle that you can't possibly try to include all of the necessary context for the point that you're trying to get across. And you don't need people to understand you in every single element. There are going to be people that are going to misunderstand you no matter what. And that's not your job. Your job is to speak to the people that do get you and do want to understand you. You can never convince the people that don't want to understand you, and they're just going to be there regardless. And instead, recognizing that Instagram is a whole big ecosystem that is existing, and one post should just be to one person for one topic. Like, sometimes I see people where they're like writing this reel and it's like they're talking about 10 different topics, and it just makes it so vague that it's hard to understand and very easy to scroll. The content that gets the most engagement is content that's specific, that gets to the point, that is punchy, that is engaging. And that's what's going to get someone to stop the scroll, not 10 million different topics around all of the cool things that you've manifested in your life. Like, one cool thing at one specific time, as if you're talking to one person. Get rid of the caveats, get rid of the justifications, get straight to the point, get straight to the outcome, get straight to the the mindset shifts that you had. So that's number four. Number five, wow, this, I wish someone had just like turkey slapped me across the face with this piece of advice, because I used to take myself so bloody seriously. I remember when I was doing my clinical placement, as I said, and I was working as an exercise physiologist. So we would work in gyms, and always the clients would be like, oh, you look so serious. Or like, are you okay? Is something wrong? And I think I just had this look on my face of always being really concerned. Like I was always really worried that I was doing the wrong or the right thing, or I wanted to seem professional. So I took everything really seriously. And I was just like really pensive all the time. Like I just really struggled to have a little bit of personality. And that also came across in my social media. So everything was really serious. Everything was really direct. Everything was really like talking to people like, oh, this is so hard. And I get that everything is so sad and it's so grim and I feel you and I'm there with you. And I've been through that too. And it's like, of course we want to acknowledge people in their pain. But for me, I want to activate and empower my followers to take action and move and really be able to make a change in their life. So creating content like that is a little bit encouraging people to be stagnant and meeting people in their pain rather than speaking up to people and creating content that is actually going to move people. So now it's like, I'm having a boogie on my stories. I'm sharing something silly. You know, the other day when I unpackaged my what's it called? Poster thing that I got printed to put on as a print for my gallery wall here in my office. I ripped it and I just posted it and I was like, oh my God, I'm such a fucking idiot. I don't need to explain it. I don't need to show why that's relevant to business. I don't need to extract some hidden meaning in it because, oh my God, I've got to make sure that it's relevant to my clients. Like you get to have a personality, you get to be silly and still be seen as professional. Those two things can be married together at once. And guess what? That's what gives you your unique selling point and makes you more memorable and makes people connect with you and build rapport. Imagine if you were in a relationship with someone and all they ever wanted to do was have DMs and be really serious and be really refined and professional all the time. Like that would be boring and super one-dimensional. The way that we can bond with people is having banter, is being silly, is revealing when we've done stupid things, or letting yourself be seen in all different facets and glory of your personality. So I want you to bring that into your business and not take everything so intensely. I was about to, the next point kind of like merges into this one as well. But something that I'll often say to my girlfriend as well is like, it's just not that deep sometimes, you know, if a reel doesn't do well, or a client wants a refund, or, you know, you have a difficult conversation with someone, the best thing you can do sometimes is to just like shrug your shoulders and be like, it's not that deep. And that kind of leads perfectly into my sixth piece of advice for savage advice that I wish I knew at the start of my business journey. Stop taking everything so personally. Wow. I used to be the biggest culprit for this. If a client, you know, if I had a discovery call with a client and we did a free call to see if they were a good fit, or we were talking in the DMs and they didn't respond to me, or they didn't sign up, or they, whatever, something happened and they didn't end up becoming a client, I literally used to go to the ends of heaven and earth to be like, what's wrong with me? What did I do? What could I have done differently? And make it mean so much about me and my supposed inadequacies and all of the things that I did wrong, because at some level, I believed that I was inherently bad. And so when something didn't work out, or I was rejected, or a client didn't work out with me, or something happened, I would just make it mean something about me and my personality, rather than seeing everything in business as an opportunity to collect and gather feedback and see what I could do differently. Okay, that client didn't sign up. What would I do differently next time? Nothing, because maybe I'm really happy with how the process went and she just didn't want to sign up. That's completely fine. Now what I want to do is focus on the next thing, focus on the next post, focus on the next client that I might sign up, focus on the next launch that I'm doing, and move fucking on. Get over it. It's not that deep. Like I said before, if your reel doesn't blow up, it's not embarrassing. No one cares. I have never thought, oh, that coach had one reel that only got 500 views. I'm not going to sign up with them. No one is thinking that. No one is thinking that how hard and heavy about your content, and just leave it there and move on to the next post and see it as an opportunity for growth to you for you to be objectively looking at that and thinking, what would I do differently next time? Why do I think this reel didn't do as well? Or why do I think this client didn't sign up? Not from a place of anything about you as a person, but instead thinking, okay, maybe I would change the text. Maybe I would make it a little bit punchier. Perhaps I'll lead the sales conversation in this way. Maybe I'll change this element of my marketing. Maybe I'll do this differently with my copywriting. There is so much growth that you can tap into when you're not making it about you. So get your head out of the fucking gutter and stop thinking that everything is about you and your personality. It is really being in a victim mindset. And I say this from someone that used to have the biggest tantrum whenever I would. Sometimes I would have clients that would sign up and then they'd back out immediately. And I used to be like, everyone hates me. I'm never going to sign up a new client. What's wrong with me? I'm a failure. How embarrassing. I would go into the biggest tantrums about this. And I remember like crying to my partner and calling my mom at all hours of the night, crying to her, telling her I was going to fail, you know, finding it really difficult to move past it, holding on to it, trying to look at it from every single angle of what was wrong with me and why people didn't want to work with me. And using all of the excuses in the book of like, maybe it's my following, maybe it's I'm ugly, maybe it's I'm stupid, maybe people don't like me, maybe it's all of these reasons. When in reality, it's honestly just not that deep. That client is not signing up with you because of something to do with you. It's just that they're not ready, or your marketing needs to be refined or elevated, or something needs to be done with the content, or it's just there's so much growth that can be had when you're not making it mean something about you. So next time something doesn't go your way, or a piece of content doesn't perform well, or your launch goes in a different way than you expect, ask yourself, if I didn't make this mean anything about me and I didn't take it personally, what objective analysis could I be doing to actually see what I could change so that in the future it could potentially be better? And business is just one fucking learning curve. You are never going to understand it straight up. It's part of the allure of entrepreneurship is the mystery. And so that is the pro. And the con of that is that sometimes things are not going to go well. And if you are going to make it about yourself every single time, you are going to find it increasingly difficult to actually sustainably build a business. And so instead, you want to start to direct your attention towards what is in your control to actually change and what is going to be beneficial to pour your energy into. And that is looking at every single thing that you do from a more objective lens, because those are things that you can actually change. There's nothing wrong with you. Don't take it so personally. All right. My last piece of advice, lucky number 7, is people overestimate what they can do in a year. So they think, if I start posting on social media in a year, I should be making 6 figures. And they drastically underestimate where they could be in 10 years' time with consistent output. And instead of focusing on running your business like with the energy of like, I'm going to do this for 6 months, and if it doesn't work out, then I'm proving that I'm going to quit and blah, 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 which is not sustainable to grow a business. And to be actually able to grow a sustainable business that's creating the incredible level of wealth that you actually desire, it's not going to happen in 6 months. And if you are giving yourself some random timeline, like think about whatever timeline that you have allocated to yourself of like, oh, I've been doing this for 2 years, I should be making 6 figures, or I've been posting on social media every day for a year, I should already be making 10K months. Like, where did you get that timeline from? It's probably not even true. There's probably no facts to base it on. And I think it's the stat that I always refer to is like 90% of businesses don't even hit ever 6 figures within the first 5 years of their business. And like only 1% of online businesses ever become 7-figure businesses. So if you're making 60 to 80K a year, or you're earning around 3K a month from your business, getting to do what you love on your own terms, being your own boss, sometimes you need a little bit of a reality check to be like, yes, of course you want more and it's okay to have that desire, but stop fucking complaining about the fact that you are able to make money and work with clients when they could be paying anyone else to be doing that service. There is no shortages of coaches. Yes, you are special. You have your unique zone of genius. But if you died, I'm sorry to be really morbid, but your clients would probably find someone else to work with. So do not be entitled to feeling like just because you've been posting on social media for a year or 2 years, you should be making more money. Or do not think or take for granted the clients that you currently have. This is something that I really needed to hear, because I was constantly putting myself down for making, like, I remember I had an 80K year and I was like, oh my God, I put in so much work and I was really thinking that I should be earning more, because it is really easy to get caught up on social media thinking that it seems everyone's making seven figures in 2 years and hitting these crazy amounts of money and going viral overnight, to think that that's the norm, when in reality, that's a very, very, very small fraction of the online business coaching industry that is actually creating those really quick results. And I would argue that they are not overnight going from zero to 100. There is no doubt in my mind that anyone that blows up has experience in marketing, has experience in social media, and they have some sort of skill that's very sellable in order for them to supposedly blow up overnight. But if you're anything like me, I had a sellable skill, but I had no fucking clue around marketing. And so it just took me time of consistently showing up and doing the work day in, day out to get better at my marketing, better at selling my services, better at standing out on social media. So stop focusing on the next month or the next client or the next launch, and instead focus on what the next year looks like, the next 10 years looks like. And if you were to show up every single day and work on your skills, work on your coaching, work on your marketing, work on your social media presence, imagine where you're going to be in 10 years from now. And you can either give up after 6 months or after a year because you haven't made six figures, even though that is a very entitled attitude, or you can focus on where you would be in 10 years if you continue to show up and work for the desire that you know is burning deep within you. So that is all of the savage advice that I have for now, for my younger self, for the early days of me starting my online business, that I wish I knew. Those were really, really challenging times for me because I wasn't very confident. I had a lot of insecurities. I struggled with anxiety. It's what led to me going to see my first ever psychologist, because I struggled so much with my mental health at the time. I would just sit on my laptop all day waiting for clients to sign up, waiting for my clients to get back to me, emailing people, just waiting, thinking that the only way to be successful was to work as much as possible. And whilst, of course, you need to be putting in that effort every single day, you also need to balance that with not driving yourself insane and holding on, white knuckling the whole process, because that's going to make everything feel so much more painful. And as I always say, time flies when you're having fun. If you believe that your success was inevitable, and yes, you did the necessary tasks every single day, which in reality, all you need to be doing for growing your business is posting on social media, upskilling so that you feel really confident as a coach, designing your offers, working with your clients. That's all you need to be doing every single day. And it doesn't matter if sometimes that takes you half an hour, sometimes that takes you 5 hours in a day. But once that's done, you also need to be taking care of yourself so that your mental health is at least neutral, and so that you can think of smart ideas, so that you can deliver a high quality service to your clients. If you don't believe that you are worthy of self-care and rest and having fun, at least think about your clients that deserve you being at your best self. And so if that means going for a swim or booking in for a massage or taking yourself out on a walk so that you can perform high quality the next day for your clients, then look at it from that way. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I definitely have more savage advice that I can be sharing with you in the future. So make sure that you have hit subscribe or follow, leave me a rating and review, because that really helps me to continue making podcast episodes for you. It helps me to create this free content for you every single day. Share it with someone if you feel like they need to hear it. And I will see you next week. Bye.